Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Woman of the Hour, Fanatical, The Catfishing of Tegan and Sarah, and Speak No Evil.
I'd like to start off talking about a movie which is based on something that really happened some years ago. And it's an interesting movie, Woman of the Hour. I also want to mention that it stars Anna Kendrick, who also directed the film. This is Anna Kendrick's first movie as a director. And, oh, it's not a great film. It's a Netflix movie, and it's very much in the usual sort of Netflix true crime drama sort of mold. But it tells an interesting story, and I was reasonably engrossed while I watched it. Woman of the Hour is about a woman whose name is Cheryl, and she is she's an actor. She's very young. She's sort of starting up the ladder. She's doing auditions, and you know, as always seems to happen with actors, auditions don't work out, and she's not really getting anywhere, and she's not happy with her agent, and all that sort of thing. But then the agent comes up with something that she can do without even having to audition. Her resume alone was enough, and that is being a contestant, not exactly a contestant, a person who appears on a very popular show from back in the 1970s, The Dating Game. So again, this is based on real life, and The Dating Game was a real show. Young Cheryl decides, okay, she'll do this. You know, it'll get her a little bit of exposure and it might be fun. So she goes on this show. Now, the way The Dating Game worked is that you had a young woman who gets to ask questions of three young men who are called the bachelors of the show, bachelor number one, bachelor number two, and bachelor number three. The young woman who is sort of running this little episode does not see the three bachelors, but she gets to ask them questions. And then at the end of this little segment and these little question and answer sessions, she gets to choose one of the bachelors that she will then go on a date with, all the expenses paid by the show itself. So that's the format. It's a game show, the kind of thing that still exists, but it was very much around in the 1970s. So Cheryl agrees to go on this show, and she asks questions of the three bachelors. However, we know something that she does not know, because there's been a lot of stuff in the movie before she even goes on the dating game show, and that is, the movie actually begins with a horrible murder. It's a murder out in the wilderness in Wyoming, and it's a young woman, and she's talking with some man she just met, and the man seems like a nice man, and he's taking photographs of her, but then he savagely murders her. So the movie jumps back and forth in time. We have that murder at the beginning. We have Cheryl going on the show, The Dating Game, and then we return to other scenes involving that same murderer. And yes, he is one of the three bachelors on the show that Cheryl is now appearing on. So what's going to happen here? Well, the story gets a little bit complicated as it goes along. Again, it jumps back and forth in time a lot. We meet another woman whose best friend was murdered by this same guy, and she is in the audience of The Dating Game when this is happening, and she recognizes him. And so she tries to go to the authorities about this. Well, I won't tell you how that turns out, because it's in the later part of the movie. But the point is that we have jumping back and forth between a few horrible murders committed by this awful character, who, by the way, again, is based on real life, and then going different bits of The Dating Game while the young woman is innocently asking the questions of the three bachelors, and one of those bachelors is this horribly evil guy. And in fact, he even sort of smarmy on the show, and one of the other bachelors warns Cheryl to stay away from this guy. Anyway, so it's a mildly intriguing sort of true crime drama. Again, it's based based on real life. And so we say, oh, gee, these things really happened. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Anna Kendrick, who not that many years ago seemed to be in every mumblecore and teenage movie that was made. She's grown up and she does a good job of directing this movie. Again, it's a very standard directorial job, but she, you know, she keeps the story moving along and she shows everything you need to see. And her acting in the main part is really quite good. The supporting cast is quite good as well. So Woman of the Hour, not one of your great true crime melodramas, but not a bad one. And certainly if you're interested in the television scene of the 70s, or if you're interested in serial killer cases, then it's a movie you might want to see. A well-done movie, certainly not a great one, but oh, competent. Next of all, I would like to turn to an actual documentary. Again, that film is sort of a docudrama. Fanatical, The Catfishing of Tegan and Sarah, is an actual documentary. And it was directed by Aaron Lee Carr, and it's about something that really happened not that many years ago. A Canadian indie rock group known as Tegan and Sarah. That is the name of the two young women. They are twins, and they had this very popular Canadian band. Not a hugely popular band, but a popular band with a lot of followers. So the title is Fanatical. The subtitle is The Catfishing of Tegan and Sarah. So what is catfishing? Well, this is something I didn't know very much about, and I learned a lot about in this movie. Catfishing means that you masquerade as a celebrity on the internet and lure fans into thinking that they are talking about the actual celebrity, when in fact it is actually you, the dishonest catfisher, who is doing this. So what happened with the band of Tegan and Sarah, and it mainly happened with Tegan. Tegan was the more outward going of the two young women in this band, and she was the one who would hang out with fans and sign autographs and just do a lot of things at their tours and their events and stuff, and really be the sort of public face of the band more than Sarah was. So Tegan became the main victim of this catfishing scheme, or actually it was the fans that were the victims, because what they found out, what Tegan and Sarah found out, was that somebody who was masquerading on the internet as Tegan was luring in fans into thinking they were talking with the real Tegan and having all of these interactions with them and generally pulling it off in a very convincing way. And this caused a lot of heartache for Tegan, some heartache for Tegan and Sarah, and a lot of heartache for these poor fans who were being duped. They were being gulled. They were being fooled by this awful catfisher. So, trying to investigate this, trying to figure out what was going on and what was happening, Tegan and Sarah and their management started referring to the fake Tegan as Fegan, because it was a fake Tegan. So, okay. And then as time went along, they tried to figure out who was doing this. They tried to put a stop to it. They did not succeed in either one of those things. And in fact, this movie is sort of open-ended, because by the end of it, they never really tracked down who was doing all this awful stuff. And apparently, according to the movie itself, there were literally thousands of messages, more than 2,000 messages that were done by this fake Tegan, this Fegan, with various fans who thought they were talking with the real Tegan, and it went on over more than 15 years. And they still haven't figured out who was really behind this. So, parts of the documentary, Fanatical, are kind of boring. They're about the efforts to try to find out who was doing this, and oh, it might be this person, and we track down that person, and you get things like, well, we now think that the person might be somewhere in the UK. Well, I mean, that's not exactly getting a strong lead on who this villain is. And there's a lot of that sort of thing as Tegan and Sarah and their management try to figure out what's going on here and try to uncover who this person might be and try to put a stop to this. And along the way, too, we hear from a psychologist who talks about what's going on here and how vulnerable fans are. And that really, to me, is the most poignant and interesting part of the movie Fanatical. These poor fans who are so in love with these people they've never met. It's what's called a parasocial relationship, where you feel that some person you've never met, you've still gotten to know them so well through the media that you feel as if you know them, and you get a real emotional investment in this relationship. And then it turns out, in this case, that it was all a bunch of fake stuff and these people were being fooled. And that's the most poignant and, I think, revealing part of the movie. So, Fanatical, The Catfishing of Tegan and Sara. It's an interesting documentary, especially if you're not familiar with the phenomenon of catfishing. You'll learn a lot about that. Sometimes it's put together in kind of a confusing way, and yeah, there are dull stretches, but again, if you're interested in fandom, if you're interested in the phenomenon of catfishing, if you're interested in the media, especially the electronic, digital, social media, then it's a very interesting movie to see. So not a high recommendation, but mildly interesting film. Finally, I would like to turn to a horror movie. Yeah, I do that a lot, but there are so many horror movies that come out these days. And now, as I speak, Halloween is approaching. So let's get a little bit into the horror area here. Speak No Evil. This is a new American movie by James Watkins, but it is a remake of a movie that came out just a couple of years ago from Denmark and the Netherlands, also called Speak No Evil. And I have to say, both are very effectively done horror movies, and both are pretty ghastly. I really want to throw out that warning right now. If you like ghastly, awful, horrible horror, then Speak No Evil, either the original or the remake, are both for you. If you don't want to see something that is pretty ghastly and horrible and brutal, then stay away. So I'll say a little bit first about the original, which came out in 2022, very recently. And it's about a couple, a man and a woman and their little girl, who decide to go away and spend some time with a couple they just met. The beginning of the film is at a resort, and they're having a lovely vacation there. And they meet another couple. The couple that we meet first, they are Danish, and they meet this Dutch couple. And they say, come stay with us for a little while. Come visit us at our home in the Netherlands. We'll show you a good time. And even though it's really not a good idea to go agree and spend a few days with some people who you barely know, they agree that they will do this. So they go and they spend some time. They go to visit this Dutch couple who have a little boy who has some problem. He can't speak properly. And they are told that this is a condition where the little boy was born either without a tongue or with a smaller than normal tongue and can't really speak. So then we have the bulk of the movie, which is this Danish couple visiting the Dutch couple. They have their little girl along. The Dutch couple have a little boy who can't speak properly, and little by little, the menace builds up, and you start to wonder, what is the payoff going to be? Well, interestingly, this movie has almost no violence in it until you get fairly near the end. And then at the end, there is the climax, and it is, to use the word I used earlier, ghastly. I found it absolutely horrible. Well, I'm not going to give away what it is, but hey, okay, the original Speak No Evil from 2022, you can watch most of it and just have a nice time with a suspense movie, but when you get to that ending, wow, you got to look out. So how about the remake? How similar is it? Okay, the remake, the brand new movie, which is out right now and available in theaters and streaming, is for about the first hour or so, a slavish remake. It's almost exactly like the movie which it is remaking. Almost everything happens in exactly the same way. Yes, the dialogue's a little different. Yes, a lot more of it is in English because this is an American film. Yes, the cast is different, of course, the actors. But boy, it's just for more than an hour. It's just an identical movie to the first one. And you say, well, why did they remake this? I'm not even sure. Even in the original film, again, which comes from Denmark and the Netherlands, there's a lot of speaking English in it because these people speak different native languages and they communicate a lot through English. So why would you do this remake if it's going to be so exactly the same? Well, by the time you start getting into maybe about the last third or the last quarter of the remake of Speak No Evil, things start to change, and there starts to be a lot more violence, really a lot more. And now it becomes more like the kind of horror movie that we're all familiar with. Yeah, people are stalking each other around the house. People are running. People are chasing. People are hiding. People are finding all kinds of novel ways to either attack one another or defend one another. It reminded me a little bit of an old movie, Sam Peckinpah's movie, Straw Dogs, starring Dustin Hoffman from many, many years ago. Because it's one of these things where you're in a house and there are some people who are very evil and there's somebody who's trying to get rid of the evil people, and that involves doing a lot of horrible violence. Things and so forth and so on. Then we get to the very climax of the remake of Speak No Evil, and surprisingly, it's less ghastly than the original. It's still pretty tough, but it's an interesting trade-off. So the remake of Speak No Evil, again, compared with the original, has much more violence in it. Yes, more violent incidents, more blood on the screen and all of that, but the actual climax of it, the actual payoff, is actually less horrific than in the original film. So it's an interesting combination. Now, I will finish this off by saying that both the original Speak No Evil from a couple of years ago and the remake of Speak No Evil from right now are very well done. As horror movies go, they are well acted, well directed, a lot of suspense, beautifully photographed. They're both really, really good movies, and I recommend both of them. The original, which is a little bit shorter, has that ghastly climax, and the remake, which is a little bit longer, has less of a ghastly climax, but a lot of really horrible violence along the way, especially, I would say, in the second half of the movie. So they're both good horror movies. I recommend them both, and actually, they're both worth seeing in their different ways. But if you don't want to see something really horrible, then stay away from that original. The remake is more violent, but I found it a little easier to take. So that is my partly documentary and partly pure horror story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Woman of the Hour, Fanatical, The Catfishing of Tegan and Sarah, and Speak No Evil.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.